Hello everyone, it's time again for Heart to Heart. It's always a blessing to speak from the heart, hear from God who speaks to the heart, from the heart. I love God. I love His ways and His wisdom. It's so perfect and rich. And remember, His love is very rich towards us. The Lord means business when it comes to His love. He is very serious about acting on His love. He is very serious about His people. He's very serious about His love. You only get to know that from interacting with Him and taking Him at His word and obeying His word. When you take Him serious, you find out how serious God is about His love and having faith in Him. You know, sometimes people have faith from an emotional position. Sometimes something can anger you. Remember, anger is a motivator, and love is a motivator. And you can get angry to the point that you have faith because you're highly motivated. And you may say something in faith, and then the Lord will move in your life. Because at that moment you had the faith and all the restrictions were gone. And He can act on your faith. Why, you know, sometimes people are not much, they lack experience. They can operate in faith, and they can speak things in faith, but they also have doubts that come and go. And the Lord And the enemy is trying to create doubt. While you're trying to create faith in your heart, you're trying to believe God's word in your heart, and you know the rules of life, how faith works, and you're trying to speak faith. The enemy is trying to kill it with doubt. And it doesn't take but a drop of doubt to stop a bucket of faith. It doesn't take but a seed of faith the size of a seed of a mustard seed, a small amount of faith to move a great mountain. And when Jesus said that, it's literal. But it just takes a drop, a smaller amount of doubt to stop it. If the doubt is, your heart has to have no doubt in it, nothing but faith in it, for God to move. So whatever you're believing for, don't look at what's not happening. Look at what has to happen. Look at what the words say. Go by the word. Speak it continually. And you can drive that doubt right out of your heart, just like the Israelites were supposed to drive out the Philistines, the Canaanites, the Amalekites. He was supposed to drive them out of that land. All the Canaanites were supposed to be driven out. Now, Joshua made a deal with the Gibeonites because they deceived him. Now, the enemy comes. When we lack knowledge of the word, he tries to use deception against us as a weapon. Understand, you may not know all the details, but it's easy. What belongs to you, belongs to you. It just belongs to you. God gave it to you. And no Canaanite demon can stop it. And the word of God will take you to that position. But sometimes you can get so angry. You might say something in faith and notice that the Lord moves on your behalf immediately while you're in faith. Because once you have no doubt in your heart, He's not restricted anymore. And when preachers preach conditions instead of the word of God, you believe in God with all you know, but you still got doubt there. You don't realize it. You believe in God. It looked like God ought to just do something. And that's the theatrics. It just looked like God should move, and nothing's happening. And then they say, well, you know, maybe God see things we don't see. No, God keeps His word. He's not faulty about keeping His word. He's going to do that. We have to get a breakthrough sometimes. Sometimes we just have to stop Satan in his tracks and not let him poison our hearts with doubt. And we can't let him poison our mind with doubt. Because it doesn't matter. You can have doubt in your mind, but faith in your heart. And if you don't have any doubt in your heart, God will still move, even though you got doubt in your mind. And you'll know that that was the case when God moved on your behalf, and you're surprised. It happened when Peter was in jail. They prayed a breakthrough. Peter was outside. They still in there praying. But somebody believed from the heart. And they were all praying, so they probably all did. But when the damsel said that he was at the gate, she left him outside for joy, saying he was at the gate. And they said, no, that's his angel. That doesn't make sense, because angels don't look like us. They look like people, but they don't look like us. They had doubt in their mind, but somebody believed in from the heart, and the angel let Peter out of jail, out of Herod's jail. He had just killed James, and he was wanting to kill Peter, but the angel let him out. The gates opened by themselves. Peter standing outside. They won. Sometimes we're not used to winning, but through obedience, all that's going to change. See, the crippling ways of doubt in this world, they start. You start winning more than you lose as time go on. But when you serve God in obedience and on purpose, and you're looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, whatever you need to know, whatever the case is, the problem's going to be solved and you're going to win. And with good teaching and better understanding, you're going to win even more. Now remember, the crowd around you, they're not winning, because unless they have been taught the word of God and they walk in it. Most people are not thoroughly obedient. Most people are partially obedient. They won't go out and sin. They won't go and get drunk. They won't lust after women, or women won't lust after men. They won't lust after each other. They won't, you know, they stay out of pride. They do things that they should do. But they're not always skilled at receiving miracles of healing. And the only way you get skilled at it is start doing it and learning about it, especially before you need it. A lot of times people start learning to contend for their life when they have a death sentence disease. The best time to learn all that is now, before you have a death sentence disease. You can become a master of faith without any problems. You don't need problems to do it. But most people won't walk in that way and learn these things until they have to, or somebody in their family has to. They focus more on what they want to do now. And remember, I'm not hard on myself if I fail somewhere, because I'm just 54 years old. I've been learning about faith since I got saved in 1983, when I was 19. So almost about 30 years, 33 or 34 years, I've been seeking the Lord about things. And I've made a lot of progress. And there's a lot of progress to be made. And some people think, well, if you're an apostle, you know everything. That's not true. All the gifts and callings of God, they don't make you any smarter than you already are. They give you an ability you didn't have, and a grace to do something that you couldn't do on your own. You know, a man that gets a new tractor, all right, he can do whatever the purpose of that tractor was made for. You know, if it's a loading machine, he can load a huge dump truck, depending on the size of his loader. But if he had to do it himself, it'll take months. But when he steps into that machine, he can load it in a few moments. He can have that dump truck full. Now, when you have an anointing, the anointing of God, and God give you something to do, it's just like you stepping into heavy equipment. You got the same amount of sense you had before, the same education level you had before, the same skill level to walk in faith that you had before. But with that anointing, you can do something much, 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 much greater. But that's just one aspect of your life. And the Lord's going to guide you, and you're going to use your anointing to do whatever it is you need to do. People have great misunderstanding about the anointing. The anointing doesn't make you dedicated. All that comes from the heart. The Lord usually anoint people that he know will be dedicated, so that they can carry, so that they'll carry the anointing without making a mess. Now, the same man can get unattractive. If he was foolish, he could tear some things up just like he could do some good. So can a man with the anointing. He can. If you're reckless with the anointing, you can cause a lot of problems. So the Lord will usually wait till people grow and master some things. Then he'll anoint them. Now, that doesn't mean they mastered everything, but they gotten to a point where the Lord, they yielded it to the Lord, and they've done right to that point enough to where God said, well, they can follow me now. They can they have enough maturity to walk the straight path. And then he anoints them. Now, as they follow that path, their anointing grows. And the more anointed you are, the more reason you shouldn't turn. You better keep your heart straight at that point, because you'll be judged greater if you turn and make a mess with the anointing that God gave you to do his will. Now remember, our enemy Lucifer, which is now Satan, Lucifer was anointed. So we're not fighting an angel that's not anointed. He has heavy equipment to do something. But he's reckless, and he uses his abilities to destroy. So that's what we're fighting. So when you believe God by your faith, be rugged about it, be determined about it. Speak that you hate doubt, that you refuse to doubt. Confess it continually. Confess that you obey God, you love him, you love his will, you love his people. And that helps you stay narrowly focused on the Lord, on his will, on his word, so that you can go forward and not get caught up in Satan's riff, not get caught up in a dead battle with Satan. Just rebuke him. You have all the power, you have all authority over him and his kingdom. And by your faith, Satan can be very obedient. You can destroy all of his plans against your life. Sometimes at random, I just say, Satan, whatever you're doing against me, it's dead, and you can't do it in Jesus' name. And then we have angels to help us out. I have a business, so when I need money, I say, angels, bring me much cash, and I get cars to work on. It always happens. The Lord taught me that. The angels are here to help us, just like he helped Jacob in the case of Laban. Laban ripped Jacob off many times. He ripped him off. He lied to him, changed the wages 10 times, changed the deal around to his advantage. And the angels helped Jacob out. Jacob said, I don't want any solid color cows. I want all the cows that, if they're solid color and they're with me, they're stolen. He said, my cows, I want them to be, they'll be ring straight. And they'll be grizzled. They'll have spots on them. The kind of cows you wouldn't really want to have. So, you know. And so when the cows drank water, he peeled poplar branches and put it in the water. And when the cows made it, they came out grizzled and spotted. And, you know. And then they became the greatest calves. And he did this when the greatest calves cows came and drank. When the greatest bulls and cows came and drank, that's when he put the poplar streaks in there. And then the cow, who would know to do something like that except an angel was helping him? So angels are there to help you get a better deal in life. You still got to use your faith, because faith without works is dead. You still got to work and do whatever it is you do, but the angels can help you do it and prosper. Remember, your faith is greater than the world. If you look at the world as your limit, that's as far as you'll get. You got to have enough vision in you to look at what the Word of God gave you. What's available to you? Are angels available to help us or not? They are. Are demons against us to destroy us and aggravate our purpose? They are out there. When you look at all the facts, then look at what the Word say to do to solve it. Then you can make the proper decisions to go forward in the Lord. The anointing is not there to solve all of your personal problems. The anointing is there to give you an ability to do some form of ministry. Now, if the Lord needed you to be able to fight a natural war, He could anoint you to be a soldier. If you had a position in the army and a war broke out and the Lord needed this war to be won in a short time, He could give you the wit or the anointing to make battle plans. You may be foolish in many areas of your life, but He can cause you to be anointed to make the right plans to solve the problem and end the war in victory. When there's a purpose out there, the Lord can anoint you to do something. The anointing is not limited to ministry. God needed a judge, somebody to judge Israel. So he anointed Samson with the ability to judge and to fight. And he was like a superhero. He wasn't anointed to minister. He wasn't anointed to win souls. He was anointed to kill God's enemies. So we can be anointed for any purpose. But usually in the church, the Lord anoint people to do ministry works. And so the enemy try to get you out of your jurisdiction so your anointing won't work right. And your anointing will work greater where it's sent to. I can only, there are some messages I can only preach in the audience of the right people. The Lord won't give it to me when people don't want it. So if I'm around the right people, He'll prompt me to say the right things. That's how the anointing works. And I'm anointed to, He called me to be an apostle, so I'm anointed to do what an apostle should do. All I have to do, I don't know all the details of what I can do, but I know if I just do what God say, I'll be on point, and I'll do things appropriately at the right time, and I will be serving God faithfully. Now, yesterday, or the last broadcast, I'm doing this one today, so the one I did yesterday, that was broadcast number 56. This is 57. I number them on the webpage. Well, you know that because you clicked on it. But anyway, we compared Lucifer's death speech that turned him into Satan in Isaiah 14, and we compared it to when Jesus washed his disciples' feet. And it shows you two different perspectives from two opposite anointed people. Now, Lucifer was an anointed angel. He had a purpose, and it was a holy purpose. He had a holy purpose to bear light. His name was Lucifer, which means light bearer. And there's a reason for God to make him a light bearer. He had a strong purpose. He was supposed to do something with that purpose, but he did something else. And when the Lord leads, we'll get to that. Because the Lord taught me about that. But the main thing we need to know now, Jesus said that the greatest of you would be the greatest servant. Now, this is Matthew chapter 20, verse 20. It said, "Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with their sons, worshiping him. and desiring a certain thing of him, of Jesus. Verse 21, and he said unto her, what wilt thou? She saith unto him, grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on thy right side, on thy right hand, and the other on thy left in thy kingdom. But Jesus answered and said, ye know not what ye ask. Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They say unto him, we are able. They didn't know what they were talking about. Verse 23. And he saith unto them, ye shall drink indeed of my cup, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. And when the 10 heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. But Jesus called them unto him and said, ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it should not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Now, let those words sink in. This is the foundation of your ministry. In earlier broadcasts, the more recent ones, we talked about how ministry doesn't have to be traditionalized. And usually men and women groom their ministry on Satan's platform instead of Jesus' platform. When people succeed in ministry, they're on TV, they have a large following of people that come that drive from out of town to come to their meetings, and they fill up coliseums. Sometimes they forget about being a servant, and they come in like royalty. And what that does is it makes people think that that's sanctioned by God. I heard of a man, he came, they come out with in a limousine with bodyguards and suits, and it's like they're way above the people on another status. And that's how people take it. And they forget about the fact that Jesus just said in verse 25, ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. They don't come in the form of a servant. They don't come in, their concept, and I've seen this happen, and it grieves the Holy Spirit. When people look at them, And they look at them with the status that they got, as if they're beneath them. In the body of Christ, no matter what you do, if millions of souls get won by in your ministry, if you receive all forms of money, if you work great miracles, you're no better than the man that just got saved. Both of y'all were washed in the blood. Both of y'all are important to the Lord. Both men God loves, just like he loved Jesus. But I'm going to tell you what God hates, and that's pride. So I decided some things a long time ago. I said, I'm not going to act like that. I've been treated by the way I've been treated by some pastors. I said, if I ever get to a point where I'm before people, I'm not going to act like them. I'm not going to treat anybody as if they're beneath me. And I'm not going to try to hide people that love God. You know, I've been treated as if I was trying to be. Sometimes people get offended at your anointing. Anointed people can be offended with your anointing instead of using it to be a blessing. Now, humble pastors, they would ask me if the Lord gave me something. The proud ones, they tried to act like I wasn't there. If God gave me a word, I said, I told one pastor, the Lord gave me a word. He didn't want me to speak the word because the way it came across to me is he didn't want people to know that the Lord was with me like that. I think he was offended or afraid that I would start another church and take some of his members or something. Now, that's not what he said, in all fairness to him, but that's how I was treated. And to the point, even the Lord gave me a dream that he wanted me to leave his church. And I said, wow. We're both here on the same team. When people get in pride, divisions start happening. Anytime there's envy, envy and strife. Every evil work follows envy, and every evil work follows strife. Divisions, seditions. People start churches before they're ready because somebody offended them. And it hurts the body of Christ. People that are in leadership, God has blessed them to do great things for him. And they shape that, they form that, they run their ministry on Satan's platform instead of God's platform. They live a life of luxury and put a high value on living luxuriously. And people are dying. Now, I know they minister to people, but look at what Jesus did compared to what Lucifer did. Jesus came, and I'm not advocating you got to be broke and poor or seem poor to be humble. I'm not saying that. God will bless you tremendously if you can handle the money without being covetous. But when the Lord taught me about the cycle of life, he said millionaires, rich people in this age, they do the first two steps. They're faithful and they multiply. But when it comes to giving, they hold the money. And nobody's getting rich but the banks. Now, if you have much, you can do much more. What if the billionaires started businesses to put people to work? Since they have the wisdom of God, they could even hire people to start businesses and get a jump started and get businesses operating, put people to work. Get money generated, more money generated, solving more problems in the community, or communities, or even other countries. They could dig wells and get people started to work. Not just give them water, but start something that they can produce. See, the logic of the Holy Spirit is not welcome everywhere, because it starts with the logic of Jesus. Whoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. What if all the billionaire preachers were servants? Now, I know they preach on TV, but what if they took all that money and did something with it? They may be doing, I don't know what they do. It's not mine. I'm just saying. I'm not calling a name, not trying to put anybody down. Because I don't care what you have. I'm just saying, what if people were faithful? If you are a servant of the Lord, your possessions would be an extension of what you are. They already are an extension of what you are. And your possessions can do what you can do, because you're able to command it. I see people buy things they really don't need when they could be using that money to be a blessing in greater ways. And the Holy Spirit will show you who he anointed to help you do it. And those people are in place. And if you pray, the Lord will bring them. And more can be done. If I ever get wealthy like that, that's what I'll do with it. I wouldn't buy all this, you know, luxurious junk. I'm one man. How many houses can I live in? How many cars can I drive? How many rooms can I sleep in? How many beds can I sleep in? How many pools can I swim in? When you think about being a servant and the cause of and what needs to happen, this is, you know, and then people see you, and then other ministers, they want to be like the concept that they see. They see an anointed man living a luxurious life and people fawning all over him. It's like they throw roses in their path, as if they're some kind of celebrity. And see, I appreciate actors for what they do, but they are people, and some of them have a death sentence, and they don't know it. They never got saved. I want to see people blessed for real. They may be rich, but they can't control their money because they're not even in control of themselves. But they have a talent. I love to watch their movies. I they're great actors. But I want to see them blessed for real. But the concepts of Satan is not working for them, and I know this. And I don't believe in valuing people higher than others. Now, some people are in a position to do more good, and some people are more willing than others. And some people are set apart for our work. And I understand and respect that. But the person, a person never did, just got saved, never did nothing for the Lord yet. He's highly valued to God, and the person that will do his will, that's anointed, he's highly valued of God. The person